Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I'm so excited because it's our season finale. Y'all know that we went seasonal a couple of years back. And if you want to know a secret, girl, if you want to know a secret, we might be coming back full time year round. Okay. That's what I feel as if I heard the Lord say. And so I'm going to take these next couple months so we can really be clear with the Lord as to what we are about to be doing, because your girl needs a little bit of help. Okay. Now, before we hop into today's episode, where we're going to be talking about how to retrain your brain to stop hiding from God, I feel as if the Lord is leading me to speak to other women who are in a situation like me, especially as we are entering quarter four, where a lot of us want to rush to get things done. This is a message for those of you who may be in a building season. Now, like I said, my intention is for us to land the plane on this podcast, but we're going to allow Holy Spirit right now in real time to guide this conversation. Okay. There are a lot of us who the Lord is calling in this season to build. And before he has called you to arise and build, which was the theme of our Women's Month this past month at church, before he's called you to arise and build, he has placed a burden on you. And a burden, not in terms of something that is weighing you down. But when you read the story of Nehemiah, you see that he has a issue with a heart posture of like, it's not okay with me that these walls over here are broken down in my city. The Lord has allowed a lot of us to have burdens for particular areas, especially as we see what's happening societally, economically, governmentally, all the least, child, okay? You see what's happening, and the Lord may have placed a particular burden on your heart and you don't know what to do with it. I need you to hear me real good, sis. I need you to arise and build. You are not building out of your own strength. You are not building out of even your own direction or instruction. But the reason that idea, that thing, those groups of people won't leave your heart and your mind is because God has given you this as your burden. This is your cross to bear. And so now the question is, are you going to pick up your cross and follow him? What y'all have seen over this last season is me picking up my cross as we've pivoted into the mental health and faith integration space. From me just wanting to be, quote unquote, just a Bible study teacher, which is what I kept telling God, you seeing me decide to really quit playing in his face and mine and y'all's and to carry my cross, because I have a burden when it comes to the mental, emotional, and spiritual health and wellness of my sisters in Christ. I care about everybody's, but the burden that God has given me is for y'all, women. Okay? Be very clear that in what God has called you to do, that you are only extending yourself to where he has called you to extend. Did Nehemiah build that one wall, or did he go build walls everywhere? Okay. I don't know who that's for. But some of us have gotten overwhelmed. You feel as if you're not doing what God has called you to do. Sometimes you not doing what God has called you to do, your delayed obedience is equally as dangerous as you extending yourself beyond what God has called you to do. Obedience is doing exactly what God said, not underachieving and not overachieving, and there is a difference between overachieving, overextending, and excellence. But I just see so many of you all burnt out because you are trying to reach and do things that God has not called you to do in this particular season. He told Nehemiah, build that wall. And that's it. Be ready and willing to carry your burden. Look at what Nehemiah did. He was prayerful. He, a lot of the time before he even got the work done, he kept to himself. He was not out here telling all of his business to everybody all the time. He remained faithful to the position that God had called him to. He was a cupbearer, remember, which literally means he would like taste the wine before the king got it to make sure it wasn't poisoned. So he had proximity to change makers, which is why the king gave him what he needed to get done what he needed to get done. Some of us are so focused on the future. I can't wait to have my business. I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to do that. That you are neglecting the very position that God is giving you to give you access to get done what he's calling you to do. So do not, in the midst of you building, despise what God has already called you to be faithful to. Do not let comparison sneak in and have you out here discrediting the very thing that at one point you were praying for. Do not allow your own desires to overtake your discernment, to overtake your discipline, to overtake your discretion and even what you're able to do. We need to make sure that we're remaining yielded to the Holy Spirit. So you are not out here trying to pump out 1,500 products before this year is out, and you haven't even taken the time to sow into people. We have to make sure that we are building relationship with people and that we are really doing what God has called us to do. We are entering into a season where people are tired of being sold to. Now, this does not mean that you don't operate your business. But the way in which we approach God's people, God's assignment, and what he's calling us to do is going to require for us to be different in this season. What does that look like? Here's a good case in point. As I have been prayerful about the app, I'm having this inclination that, you know what, Lord, I think I'm going to have this be something that is free. And I really think that that's you. However, you want to know what's not free? This software. Okay, it's a couple thousand dollars a year to run this app. So what I need from you, God, is a way to be able to pour into this business this way, serve your people this way without it causing issue in my own finances. And you want to know what happened? He brought along an opportunity for me to teach at the school. Okay, great. Thank you. There are still things that I'm going to offer that will be paid, et cetera, et cetera. But in this season, we have to make sure that we have the pulse of God's people and the pulse, more importantly, of what he's doing. Hear me good. I'm not saying don't run your businesses. I'm saying that we need to make sure that as we go into quarter four, that we are really taking the time to evaluate and read the room. Read the room. Here are the things that I am going to do and that I recommend that you do if I am talking to you, if God is calling you Nehemiah, okay? Collaboration is going to sustain you. Collaboration does not always look like us sharing on each other's socials, etc. Collaboration may look like us just having conversation. Hey, what does your audience need over here in this area? What are you hearing? Because we do not all have the same calling. We are a body. Okay? My eyes have to collaborate with the sockets in my eyes and the vessels. They all work together. Collaboration to get the thing done. Community. I don't mean going out and building your own community unless that's what the Lord is calling you to do, but to even make sure that you're sustaining your own personal community. Real friends. Real connection. We have watered community down to be a commodity that we use to leverage for income. And again, I am not against that. The Bible talks about how you should get paid. A laborer should get paid for their wages. Or something like that. Matter of fact, let me get the scripture before I misquote it, child. Hold on. Let me give you Bible as my pastor say. Okay, friend. It's in 1 Timothy 5:17 through 19. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. That's the Bible, 1 Timothy 5:17 through 19. So I'm not saying that if you are serving God's people, doing the things that you should not be paid. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that at the heart of what's driving you to do what you're doing, is it coin first? That cannot be. You need to really make sure that you're in a position where you are building real community, offline and online, where we can come together and really care about one another. There's way more value in that. Everything is not to be leveraged for monetization. You should still be paid, 1 Timothy 5:17 through 19. Okay? Hear what I am saying. But you need to practice building community in your own life. People who you know you can go to, who will check you, who will pour into you, who will comfort you. Because God is calling you to do something that is bigger than yourself. And it's going to require collaboration and community. Everybody that you collaborate with may not necessarily be part of your community, your personal community. And then I want you to celebrate. I'm so excited about the things that the Lord is calling me to do in this next season. I am taking some time, literally this afternoon, to get a handle on some of it so I don't drown. But I'm very, very excited. I'm very excited about the app being on the Google Play Store. I'm very excited about even the development of the app. I found a video of what that app looked like in 2022. Yuck. Who let me distribute that? And I'm being facetious a little bit, but I just can't believe that God has allowed me to, in public, kind of find my way in terms of where he was taking me, what he was wanting me to do, how he's putting all of these pieces of the puzzle together. And so celebrate those things. Be excited about those things. Don't just focus on collaboration and community without taking the time to celebrate life and life abundantly. That is part of our problem. And I need you to do all of these things without compromise. Don't compromise your mission. Don't compromise the method. Don't compromise your character. Don't allow the naysayers and the things that may come out about how you're doing, why you're doing, what you're doing to get you off track. Remember the people that came and were talking about how they were trying to rebel against God? Nehemiah said, I cannot come down up off this wall, child. I'm doing what God called me to do. That's the Charlotte Living Translation. So many of us will take opposition as a sign of God not being there. And for some reason, we do not rightly discern that some opposition is because the enemy wants you to stop doing what God has called you to do. I have told y'all my testimony. I literally feel like I have lived through 18 months of hell going through school. Kidney failure, my body's trying to fall apart, people kept dying, all of these things that would have given opposition. There was even my last semester, I wanted to take a break, a semester break. And I said, God, please, just give me a semester and I'll spin the block and finish. And I had no peace about taking the break. So I didn't do it. I was so upset, y'all. I mean, I was literally one day, my husband walked in the house and I had scriptures taped to my desk. I was blasting Jackie Hill Perry's new album and I was had tears rolling down my face while I was putting my assignments in my planner. I said, I'm working to be obedient. And I need my feelings to catch up, but I'm going to do what God said. Do you know that that very same day, there was that article that came out about how the government was trying to end federal student loans? Oh, okay, God, I see why you wouldn't give me peace about taking the break. Now that I understand, can you please help my feelings catch up? Because I don't want to do no more semesters. I'm tired. And he graced me and he covered me and he kept me. All opposition or things that feel like opposition, they are not always a sign that the Lord is telling you to abort mission. And you have to use your discernment. You have to use your discretion. You have to be disciplined enough to do what God is calling you to do. I am not saying that I have gotten it right. There's a lot of things that I am course correcting, which is why I'm slightly frustrated with myself from time to time. However, God is faithful and he has kept me and he will keep you. And I need you to hear me and hear me good, that if God is calling you to build in this season, as we go into quarter four, realign your priorities. Stop trying to funnel people. Start shepherding people. What is the mission? What is God calling you to do? Don't do no more and don't do no less. If God is calling you to stretch yourself in this season, don't be afraid. I know what the economy looks like. I know what all these other things look like. Don't be afraid. You have to be courageous. You have to practice all the things that we talked about. You have to start building a life that is one that is rooted in agency. You have to start building a life that is one that is rooted in you abiding in God and also experiencing life more abundantly. And that has nothing to do with the amount of money in your paycheck. So many of us have misappropriated sufficiency, surplus, and scarcity. We don't understand the difference. Scarcity is not having at all. When we talk about somebody having a scarcity mindset, God has really been giving me this revelation. And I really am now starting to feel like this is why he's having me take this here. This is not my notes. When I tell y'all, I just spent the whole morning doing notes on for my last episode. So prepare for it to be an off-season bonus episode. But this is the message that God wants out. Stop confusing scarcity, sufficiency, and surplus. Scarcity is a mindset because God tells us that he supplies all of our needs. That is what sufficiency actually is. So if you feel like you don't have enough, It's not because God is not supplying. It likely is a stewardship issue. There are some things that we need to start cutting back, some things that we need to let go of for a season. And then there are those of us who don't understand what sufficiency actually is. Sufficiency means that God will give you enough. Sufficiency is while you're in the wilderness, you have fresh manna every day, but that does not mean that you have surplus, because the surplus that they try to accumulate for themselves, it would rot away. There's a reason in this season that God is teaching you sufficiency. He won't allow you to have more than enough because you will get to wallowing. Can you be grateful and even content with sufficiency? What does enough look like for you? Don't enter another quarter four with all of these stats and this and that and shoulda, woulda, coulda, this was my life, shoulda, woulda, coulda looked like. God, thank you for breath in my lungs. Thank you for another day. I ain't never went hungry. I spent 0 days on dialysis. Went to the doctor this week. Everything looks perfect. I thank you for your sufficiency. I may not have the surplus that I desire, but then what do I even want it for? I'm not saying that God won't give us exceedingly abundantly, but some of us don't have it. What James say? Because we pray and we don't have it because our motives are off. What does enough look like for you? And if God gave you the surplus that you're asking for, what you about to do with it? What are you about to do with it for real? Things are not as scarce as we want to make them out to be. And hear me, I understand that times are hard, that people are in economic downturn. I have my own student loan debt, credit card debt, all the things that I am also navigating through. So I'm not talking to you from a position that's high and mighty. I just said I work two jobs. Okay? But I still do not have this mindset that God is not enough. Why? Because he said that he's given us everything that we need as it pertains to a life of godliness. Why? Because he said that he shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Not that he don't have the riches, but the stuff that I'm asking for, is it for his glory or for mine? And we can have things that we desire, but we need to desire nothing more than to look like Christ. Do not allow for the lies and the different standards that we have conformed to. And I'm talking to Christian women, Christian content creators, Christian business owners. Do not allow what God has called you to do to fall under it being conformed to the ways that we do business, the ways that we do anything. God has blown my mind with the strategy and the things that he has given me. The way that he has shifted me from not thinking about a funnel, but I need to really be focused on ecosystem building. Are you living your life like that? Some of us are so frustrated because we are wanting God to hurry up and deliver the goods, but God is trying to build something that is going to have sustainability. That takes time, sis. Be encouraged. You have everything that you need. Do not get off the wall. Do not allow what's happening to throw you off. Do not allow what people are saying, or what, better yet, what you're saying to yourself, the narratives, to get you off the wall. What you're doing in this season is going to require for you to live life in a way like you've never lived it before. I am living life in a way that I've never lived before, refusing to compromise on my rest, refusing to compromise on the things that God has called me to and called me to do, slowing down while feeling like He's giving me more direction than He ever has in my entire life. It can seem overwhelming if I did not have the discernment and the understanding of what was at stake and what He was calling me to do. And I want you to take inventory in your own life. What is He calling you to do? What is He calling you not to do? Go read the story of Nehemiah. Look at how he was prayerful. Look at how he collaborated, how he utilized the resources that God gave him, how he faced opposition. Don't allow another day to go by without you doing the first step. Not planning the step, friend. Do the step. Behavior activation. You have to do the things. You have to do the things. What is that one thing you can do today? I had to come in here, sit down, start recording. I find it even trying to sneak up on me. My neurodivergent girlies, do what it is that you need to do. Take the time to focus on planning. Nehemiah didn't just jump right into it, but focus on planning in a way that is executionable. I'm going to get this done by this date and then take the first steps. Reworking the plan 1,700 times is not effective. Now, I'm not about to sit here and be like, oh, in 52 days, God is about to, girl, God could do it in 3 days, 2 days, 52 days, 152 days. I'm not going to profit a lot of you. What I'm telling you is I know what I feel. And if you are about to take this last quarter and try to apply practices and strategies that you've been applying for the last several years that have not gained you any different outcome, this is your interruption to stop. He didn't interrupt my whole little podcast episode. I mean, I had points and everything. He could have just told me we was doing this. Okay, Lord, you hear me? Because I woke up at 5:30. You could have just told me to get on here and talk. Okay, we'll talk about it later. All right. Because I have points in the things, in the notes. But this is what the Lord wants you to hear today. So be it. So be it. I need you to hear me. And I don't know why this is so impressed upon my heart, but it is what I feel like God is calling me to speak here. I recorded 3 other intros for this podcast before I finally just said, okay, Holy Spirit, I see that we're not going in the direction that I first thought. Okay. All right. I need y'all to hear as I get ready just to put a pin in this and a pin in this season. I need y'all to hear a proverb that has been resonating with me, and I want you to really allow the Lord to use it to minister to you as you plan for the rest of your year and the rest of your life. We operate in kingdom currency, kingdom economics, all of that. We can see what's happening here, but we have to see beyond what's happening here. We have to see beyond it, friend. Do not allow the narratives and the news and all of these other things to get you swept up and off the wall. Let me get y'all this scripture, child, because it's real good to me. Now head on over with me to Proverbs 30. I know we love Proverbs 31. But the whole book is full of wisdom, okay? Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit, and then I'm going to let y'all go, friend, okay? I'm going to read from the NLT. It says, "Oh God, I beg 2 favors from you. Let me have them before I die. First, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. This passage has been on my heart. It's something that God revealed to me as we talked about scarcity and surplus in my quiet time with him and learning his sufficiency. I asked him, what does it mean for your grace to be sufficient? And then he took me down this place of even just learning what sufficiency actually is. This prayer is from Agar, who's the son of Jakah. Solomon did not write this prayer. He is a teacher. And what I love about this is that in the first couple of verses of Proverbs 30 and verses 2-6, he is admitting his vulnerability and his limitation before God. He's like, I'm dumb. Please send help. Who is like the Lord? Nobody. No, nobody. Okay. Like that's how it starts. And then he prays. Verses 7-9 is a prayer, which we see is different from a lot of the instruction that we get inside of Proverbs, but it is a very direct prayer. It is an urgent prayer. Before I leave this earth, please help. There is a desire that is one of legacy. Not for wealth, not long life, not success, but his legacy being character and integrity. I want to make sure that I'm not out here lying on your name, lying in these streets. And understand that when he talks about never telling a lie, that in biblical times, in the Hebrew, it's beyond you just speaking lies. It's about you living dishonestly. It's about you compromising integrity. You cannot build a godly life off of deception. You cannot build a godly business, a godly anything off of deception. And so without truth, even abundance will be corrupt. Then he also asks for sufficiency, which is my portion. Give us this day our daily bread. He's not idolizing poverty because poverty does not make you holy. He's not idolizing surplus or riches because having a surplus and an abundance does not prove that you're more blessed by God. What he asks for is harmony, contentment, and daily dependence. He then explains the danger of both. When you have wealth without true dependence on God, it will make you arrogant, self-sufficient, and you will forget the Lord. Let's pause right there. A lot of us, as I've talked about, this survival mode that we have been conditioned into, we are already hyper-independent. So you think God's going to give you access to an abundance of resources where it already has the danger of you living independent of him, and you are already hyper independent in your current state? No, friend. No. He loves you too much. He loves me too much. On the other end, poverty without hope will make you desperate and will lead you to compromise. But he really said, if I get too poor, I may steal. Okay, he said, listen, I will up the blicky and be out here robbing the people. And I don't want to do that, Lord. So I need enough. That's real. I need enough. His ultimate concern is not his comfort, but it's God's name and reputation. He doesn't want his circumstances to cause him to dishonor the Lord publicly. When we are building, doing, going to these jobs, all of that, is that our prayer? Is that our heart posture? Are we asking God for integrity? Are we asking God for harmony? Are we asking God to keep us dependent upon him? This is not just about even money. It's about any type of provision, any type of influence, any type of assignment. God, give me what aligns with my capacity to steward it faithfully so I don't ruin my witness and so I don't live life independent of you. And we know because Jesus said that people are going to prophesy and do all of these things in his name and he's not going to be nowhere in it. It can look as if you are stewarding faithfully, and yet and still you are separate from God. This is why what Nehemiah did could be a blueprint for us. He had access to wealth and influence, and he used it with integrity. He did not use the king's favor to make himself rich. He used it to do what God called him to do. He resisted to compromise when enemies and people came from within the community. His aim was that God's name would be honored. So what does that mean for you? As you go into quarter four and you plan for the next year, if you have started planning without taking any of this into account, throw the plans away, start over. Be ready and willing. If God tells you throw the whole thing away, be ready and willing to do that, friend. Let him reconstruct your life. Do not build another year, another season, another day where you are living outside of the will of God. Let's stop building altars unto ourselves. Build with truth as your foundation. That means no cutting corners. That means no manipulation. That means no false narratives. Integrity needs to sustain everything that you do. It needs to undergird it. Nehemiah, he did not use deception as a tactic, and he also did not fall victim to deception and delusion. Nehemiah also leveraged resources without greed. He did not exploit his position to make himself rich. Y'all see these people going to jail, federal crimes, prison, exploiting the people of God, fleecing the flock. Have we no fear of the Lord? Have we no fear of the Lord? You worried about your bills. Do you have fear of the Lord? I'm not saying don't worry about your bills, but to the point where you're willing to compromise, you're lying, you are leveraging sensitive topics like marriage and this and that. Like you're leveraging stuff to pull on people's heartstrings, and the Lord has not assigned that to you. Have you no fear of God? Do not find yourself in that place or space. Steward your resources wisely. Do not idolize more and don't fear having less. Use whatever it is that God provides, nothing more, nothing less, and use it to advance whatever it is he's calling you to do in this season. Nehemiah also stayed dependent on the Lord at every stage. Fasting, prayer, seeking favor, strategizing. He never stopped seeking God's direction. You need to stay prayerfully dependent, walking in the agency and in the assignment that God is giving you. I knew I needed to record a podcast today. I was prepared. Prayerful dependence is I pray before I hit let's go on this microphone. And by the third time, I felt like I was getting off track. I had to stop again. I said, oh, are we going this way? We're going this way. Okay. I still had my assignment, my strategy, all of that. But I understand that before I operate an agency, I'm going to be in alignment with what the Lord is telling me to say. And this is what he has for y'all to hear on today. Do not let success convince you that you don't need God. Sufficiency is what keeps you leaning into his voice. Nehemiah also never took credit for the wall. He led the people into worship and dedication when it was all said and done. Celebrate your success with humility, but guard your heart from becoming prideful. Give glory to God. Point people back to the source. Anything that I say on this podcast, in my app, in any lesson, I'm pointing you back to God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is everything that you need and some more. So while my strategy may be cute, you may enjoy my humor, you tolerate my side quests, because I'm going to get to the plot, friend, okay? I got ADHD. You may enjoy all of that. I never want any of that to outshine the fact that I'm pointing you back to Christ. Even as we approach mental health, all of it goes back to, no, like, well, the Bible already has said this, and here is how science was able to extract what God already said, because I operate first by the evidence of God's word and then evidence-based practice, because all science is studying what God already said in order. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. It's all his work anyway. That is why it's very easy to integrate the two, because it's all his work anyway. You just have to know his word and then know how to read peer-reviewed articles. It's not that challenging. But you got to get in the word. But that is not for me to take the success. That is because I'm pointing you back to where success flows from, the source. In what you're doing and what God is calling you to do, friend, are you pointing people back to God? If so, how? Be very clear in how you're doing it. It should not take a bunch of time for me to realize, like, oh, okay. You point me back to the Lord, even if you're not explicitly doing Bible study teaching in the way that you handle your people, in the policies and the procedures, in the order that is set. Are you demonstrating God, and are you doing something for his glory? Why do you want $1 million? And you can say whatever reasoning you want to yourself, but God knows the real pieces of your heart. He searches the heart and tests the mind, so he knows. You can say, God, I like Birkin bags and I want one. He's not too timid for that. He's going to deal with it to make sure that that's not the gist of why you're doing what you're doing. I've never seen a Birkin bag in my life. There's no way I'm paying that much money for no bag, but you get what I'm saying. I like wrestling and I want to go to every premium live event this year. Like, whatever it is, be honest in what it is so God can then deal. And it doesn't mean that you won't get to experience it, but it cannot be the idol. And then finally, make sure that you refuse to compromise. Nehemiah confronted the people who were trying to exploit the poor. He ensured that the community was built on justice and dignity. What of your values are you compromising on? We get so caught up in the busyness of life that we will cut our quiet time. What? We have to do some self-searching, some realigning of our motives, of our values and our priorities, not the values that you think that God wants you to have, but what are they for real, so you can actually change your habits and live a life that is not one of cognitive dissonance, where you say you believe one thing, but you're doing something else, and it continues that spiral of shame, disappointment, survival mode. How do we stop living a life that was handed to us and start living like a new creature in Christ? Slow down if you need to. God is a redeemer of time. You are not behind on anybody's clock. Quality over quantity. I would rather live a life that is one that is fulfilled, one that I am experiencing abundant living. And it ain't got nothing to do with my paycheck. I have lived a better quality of life in the last 4 or 5 months than I have in a very long time. I'm about to get off this microphone and I'm about to go abundantly live and take Miss Georgia, aka Gigi, aka Peaches, okay? We're about to go for our daily walk. I look forward to it. She brings me so much joy. Abundant living. Slow down. God is worried about your quality of life first, and what you can do comes from that. I want you to read Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. I need you to keep it at the top of your heart and mind. I need you to go read the story of Nehemiah. And as you go into quarter four, I need you to allow the Lord to shift your perspective, your posture, and your practices. I did not anticipate this being this, but the Lord did. I love you, friend. Thank you so much for being a part of this space, this community. Go do whatever the Lord has called you to do. He is not playing with us in any season, but particularly this one. He is patient. He is kind. He is loving. And also, we have to wake up. It's time. It's time. So I love you. I promise you, y'all gonna get this bonus episode that actually has our last portion of our communication series. But outside of that, or before that, me saying what it is that the Lord wanted me to say took precedence. So I love you, friend. God bless you. And I'll talk to you soon.